Accession number 16576, Jim Miller, reel 4.
Mr. Miller, reel 4. We were talking about your time with Inkerman's squad at Fenham Barracks, just, you know, when you were getting your recruit training with the Durham Light Infantry. How did you get on with the rest of the lads in the squad?
Oh, very well. We all knew one another. We all helped one another. Comradeship, very early in life, you know, in service life. Yeah, that's what it was all about. If any lads was in trouble, we'd all look to try and put it right.
What about the NCOs and the instructors?
We call it Esprit de Corps.
What about the NCOs and the instructors? What did you think of them?
Not much at the time we were there. As I say, they were very strict, but that was their job. You know, discipline. I saw one lad once in the Northumberland Fusiliers. He was chasing his sergeant, right with bearded. So we all had to stop and watch. Yeah, something happened, you know. And, now, I mean, another thing, as I say, when you were drilling, learning to drill, it's just as you were, you know, as you were. Yeah. And you all had to be in step when you stood at ease or stood at attention, saluting. Well, a funny thing happened as well. I'd only been in the barracks about 3 days. That's before I went to Catholic Hospital. And I saw this officer walking across the square. And I saluted him. And he stopped. And he said, "Come here." And I stood in front on him, and he wasn't an officer. He was the regimental sergeant major. And they wear a Sam Brown, the same as an officer. he's a big chap. I think he was at the Royal Northumberland Fusiliers. Anyway, he had me standing there saluting him. Up, what do there? Up. And he says, You'll recognise a regimental sergeant major. That is one little instant. Yeah, it's funny that.
What did you think of the officers?
Well, we only had one officer at Fenham Barracks. We didn't have any officers. I don't remember being any officers there. Captain V.A. was. We had the sergeants. We had a regimental sergeant major. I forget his name now. But there wasn't any officers. Just the commanding officer at the depot. Yeah.
Now, you were in Inkerman squad. That started in May 31, I think, according to that photo you showed.
Mere squad, that's right. They used to come by the months as well, mere squad, yeah.
And how long were you with them?
June, July, August, September, October, November.
6 months. I joined the 1st Battalion after 6 months.
Was there any sort of passing out exam? Or not exam, but I mean, did they assess you at the end?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We had a passing out parade. Oh, yeah. At the depot.
Do you remember that at all?
Yeah, well, it was marching and, you know, the drills and all that, and the inspection. And then you put. In fact, I don't think any of our lads in that squad failed. We were all. Well, I wouldn't say perfect, but we were all.
How had you adapted to the sort of military life, the lack of the privacy, the discipline? How were you settling in by then?
Oh, we got used to it. We got used to it. Yeah, we got. It just come natural to you. You got used to it. Of course, we had to join the 1st Battalion.
Well, how were you posted then? So in November, you had your passing out parade, and then
shortly afterwards, we were posted down to the battalion. And that was at Catterick Camp, Mons Lines. And I'd love to go back there. I've never been back since. There was Sandy's Soldiers' Home. I believe it's still there, where the lads used to go for a drink, a cup of coffee and things like that. The hospital was there. We had the Garrison Cinema. And yeah, the Royal Royal Course Signals was there. That was their depot, Cuttrick. We were in one's lines. Now, here's a funny thing and all. The barracks were terrible.
In what way?
Filthy. And all we had was a heater in the middle of the room. One of them round with the pipe up, you know.
Stove?
Yeah, like a stove. That's all we had. And we used to wash outside. The wash basins and the toilets were outside. And in the winter, well, it went down in the winter anyway. And it was cold water, sometimes the water. Well, I used to get a pot of cocoa, I'd drink half and shave in the rest. That's true, that. And, oh, God, yes, Bassa. Did we have a Bassa? I can't remember the Bassa. Did you show Bassa? I can't remember now. It's that long since I... But, it was nasty. The 1st Battalion.
And how did you fit in with the 1st Battalion? I mean, what did you think of them when you joined them?
Well, I was put in what they called the machine gun. See, battalions in them days had their own machine gunners, a company of machine gunners. And now I was put into the machine gunners. I like that. God, it was great, like, machine gunner. And
so they were part of the headquarters company, were they? Would it be a...
No, there was HK company, and it was called a machine gun company.
A whole company?
MG company. Whole company of machine gunners.
And which... Did it have a letter? I mean, A, B, C, or... Did it have a letter, or was it just a machine gun company?
Just MG company.
And
well, afterwards it became S Company, it was D Company, you see. That's how you got D Company. They were original MG companies. S Company was support company. They kept changing the names. And another thing, I don't think they should have took the machine gun companies from a battalion, right? Because they made machine gun battalions. And while I was in France and Belgium, our machine gun battalion was the Manchester Regiment. The Northumberland Fusiliers, they were a machine gun battalion. And like that, you see, a man, a CO in his own battalion, if he'd had a machine gun company, he could have put them machine gunners anywhere he wanted them without asking the CO of the Manchester Regiment or there was the Cheshire Regiment. I mean, they were machine gunners and all. No, I think it was the Manchester was it Manchester that's right, the Manchester was ours. But they had machine gun battalions.
Now, so you were put in there. Now, what did you think of them when you joined your company, the platoon you were in? I mean, how did you fit in? Because you'd been with lads of your own age. Now,
yeah.
These weren't your age, most of them.
So that's right. Well, when I joined the machine gun company, I met some of the older chaps. They were all right. In fact, they helped to teach us as well, you know, how to do it quickly, like the lock on the machine gun and how to strip it. And, you know, we used to have competitions like that. How quick could we strip the lock and put it together again?
Would they tell you about India and the First World Wars, if there were any First World Wars left? But would they tell you about this?
Well, there was one or two. No, they didn't brag about it like much. We did talk to them. I forget that, you know.
Were they any in any way cruder than you lads were? You know, just drunker or swell more?
We've got some new men in, that's, you know what I mean, during the company, like.
But did you find some of them a bit rough?
No, I can't remember.
And no bullying?
No bullying. We could hold our own. No.
Now, you would join in the machine gun, then. Would that be the Vickers, then?
The Vickers, yeah.
Now, could you Water describe pool. How you were trained in the Vickers? You know, take us from the start.
Yeah, well, when I joined the machine gun company, of course, I had to be trained in using the machine gun. And I was number one. A little fella, you see, got right behind the gun. You know, and number two, we used to feed the belt in, you know, the rounds. And then we had different numbers, 3 and 4, they carried the boxes of ammunition, you know, and all that. And then we had like limbers, horses, you know, in the mules. And when we're on maneuvers, we used to put these machine guns, the barrel, in one box and the tripod in another box, and either side, just near the wheels of the cart. And we had to lie on them boxes and galloping. When they started galloping, we had to be careful we didn't get our hands caught in the when we had to hang on them boxes, things, you know. Well, I don't know, we were only young anyway.
Now, what was the vicar's like to fire?
Very good.
In what way?
They could fire over hills. They could fire over unseen targets, you know.
Was it accurate?
Oh, yeah, it was. Oh, yeah.
And what about stoppages? Were there any common ones?
Yeah, oh, no. Fail, rotate, well, no, I pulled back. All these years now, not many stoppages.
Were they easy to clear? Were the stoppages, when they did happen, were they easy to clear?
When you'd been trained to do it, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like the springs and different things. Oh, yeah. There was some good stoppages, yeah.
And you actually practised in stripping it down?
Oh, yeah, that was part of our life in the Bannockburns, you know, training that.
Would you really practise it blindfold, things like that? I mean,
I believe we did. We had to feel. That's right. Feel. That's right. Feel, rotate, and you know, we had to feel. Yeah. Oh yeah.
What about? I mean, firing the Vickers isn't quite skillful. They used to have a tap, didn't they? Did they teach you to tap it? You know.
Yeah, you had to tap. There was two handles on, and you had to press in the. So, you could fire a lot off. You could swing it if you wanted to, or just tap, and you could raise the barrel. We had a clinometer as well to get our range and everything, and we had viewfinders. We had to learn how to do the viewfinder, you know, like a tree upside down, you know, like. See, it's hard to describe. Like,
What was that for?
To get a dead range on it, you know. And
would that be the Star and Stroud order of it? Star and Bar and Stroud.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah, that's right. Yeah, they brought that name back. Born Stroud, yeah. Of course it was, yeah. They brought that up together. We were that, yeah. When they said Born Stroud, yeah.
And but was there a special way of moving it round? Because I was told that some of the machine guns had a special tap.
Yeah, we used to tap it, yeah. You don't want to just tap like it, you know. It all depends what the order was, see. You could play a single round if you wanted to. Oh, you burst. Yeah, I forget the range of it now. But it's a good long range.
Was it difficult to fire single rounds? I thought that needed quite a lot of skill to just fire single rounds.
Oh, yeah, you only just press, bung. You make a couple of rounds, maybe bung, you know, yeah. I used to, anyway. Oh, yeah. We had loads of guns as well in them days.
I'll come back to that. what sort of firing practice did you have with the Vickers?
Oh, just going to ranges.
What targets were you at? Was it just a normal target, or did they have special targets?
No, we had normal targets. No, I mean, you couldn't fire, you know, like, over. Just ordinary targets.
Would they practice sweeping fire, though? Because that's what they'd be used for. Because you wouldn't usually aim a Vickers at a ball start target. You know, it was more an area you'd be trying to cover, wouldn't it?
I just can't. We might have done. I can't remember, you know.
What about practicing things like indirect fire or fixed line firing? Where would you get a chance?
That's right. Well, we had to get our range, you know, the clino, like, and get our angles and the distance and all that. Like, say it's a long while, but I used to carry a revolver. Goodness, did the Smith and Webley? Oh, that was good.
Did you get a chance to fire that? Practice firing?
That used to kick up a lot. You know, you bang. Oh, God, yeah.
How accurate would you say it was?
Pardon?
Was it accurate? The revolver?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Up to what range?
You didn't aim. You just stuck your arm up, stiff and fired. Bang. Like that. You didn't look, you know.
About what range would you use it at? Because...
Not well that far.
So it was a close range weapon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, like in the corner there, something like that, you know what I mean? You know.
Oh, 10 yards.
Yeah.
Most. Yeah.
Smith and Wembley. Oh.
Well, did you ever, you know, you had a team of four or five of you. Would you practice changing round? I mean, I know you were normally the number one, but would you learn all the jobs?
Yes. Oh, yeah. There was that, yeah. If I remember, yeah, there was, yeah.
And what you mentioned the Lewis gun. Were you training that as well?
Yeah. Yeah.
And what did you think of the Lewis?
It was a good gun. In fact, that Lewis gun, going to France, on the 10th of May, when the Germans invaded, they were flying to Douai, bombing Douai, telling France. And I had a Lewis gun, I had Lewis guns then, on a tripod, out in the field by the barn, shooting at the plane. And one plane came over, he'd done his bombing, and he'd fly low, and we were taught to fire in front of the plane. The German pilot waved at me. I'm jumping.
That's all right. So the Lewis gun was good. What about its stoppages? Because it used to have more stoppages, didn't it?
Yeah, but I can't remember them now.
Now, what sort of what other training were you doing? You were learning your machine guns. What else were you doing with the machine gun company? What other training did you do at Catterick?
Speed. Getting down, you know, get the tripod up and get the gun on quick. Yeah. Because I had the battle, you see. And number two had the tripod, heavy tripod. They were made of, what was the material? Manganese bronze. I still remember the name. Manganese bronze. What it called. And they were water cooled, of course.
So you'd practice getting off the limber and into action.
Oh yeah. Speed. Oh yeah.
Anything else you're practicing?
No, yeah, kind of. All of them.
Oh, it did. Any other training you were doing then?
Well, we did square bashing, guard mounting. We used to do a guard.
What was that like? Tell us
24 hour guards.
How would you put?
Four on and two off. The two on and four off, I mean. Two, but yeah, guard mounting.
Did the 1st Battalion have a stick man system, you know, where the smartest man got off?
I don't know about the 1st Battalion, but I had it twice in India.
We'll do it then, we'll talk about that then, right. Now, I don't think there's much else about Catterick. You were there about a year. You went there in November 31, and then you joined the 2nd Battalion in India in October 32, I think. Was there anything else about your time at Catterick? It doesn't seem to have been much.
No.
Now, you volunteered for India. Tell me, what made you decide to volunteer to go to India?
Well, I just wanted to go to India. Join up and see the world, isn't it?
I
just wanted to go. I mean, I didn't know what India was like. Yes, yeah. I like roaming, as I say. I like to get around.
Did you know that the 2nd Battalion were out there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Was there any sort of worry about leaving the 1st and joining the 2nd? Did you see?
In fact, they gave me a C stripe. You see, I had Lance Corporal stripe. They always get C stripes. A full corporal, he'd get a Lance Sergeant stripe. You know, like, I don't know why. And we used to do guard on the ship. We used to do guard mounting on the ship.
What ship did you go out on?
The Navassa. I've got them all other ships. I went on the Navassa.
And what were conditions like aboard the Navassa? Where were you?
We slept in hammocks. Oh, God.
What was that like?
Well, somebody would start swinging and we're all, we're all crowded up, you know. Not only our lads, those were the regiments, you know. And then on the morning, you had to get up out your hammock, a bugler, sound dry, and you had to fold this hammock properly. And you'd stand in a long, long queue, handing these hammocks back to the sailors on the ship. I think they were sailors, right? And if your hammock wasn't done properly, folded, you had to get back,
Oh, God, it was terrible.
You had to do it all over again. And our meals, it was down in the messes below. And porridge was the first meal in the morning. And I remember a couple of lads coming down to the porridge and one slipped the porridge all over the deck. And some of the lads used to play Crown and Anchor. Yeah, the gambling game, like.
Did you play?
But no, it wasn't allowed. It was illegal. And they used to...
Is that why you didn't play? You didn't want to get into trouble, or did you realise it was a mugs game?
Well, we didn't have much money. Some lads had played, I don't know. And coming back from India, there was Crown and Anchor as well. You know, and they had guards out waiting for officers spotting them because they were on the charge plane. It was usually the sailors on the ship, Crown and Anchor.
Did you realise it was a fiddle? Because it's badly
rigged.
Oh,
yeah. And we used to play bingo. No, it wasn't called bingo then. It was called housey. And that was the only gambling game allowed in the regiment, housey. The proceeds went into the fund. What the heck they call it again? The battalion fund. There was a name for it. Yeah, so they always play housey. And on the ship... There were cards. There's housey. There were cards, not paper cards, and you could change the cards. And you had to have bits of matches, stalks, anything. So if your number was called out, you put this on your number. They wanted proper discs, you see, to put on. And if you were sweating for a number, somebody would call, knock on your number. You know. Funny tricks. No, that was all a fiddle because they were making the blogs run it. They were poor. God, I don't know about using it.
They'd cream.
We also played on the deck of the ship as well.
They'd cream off the profits, you mean?
Yeah, and we used to wash the decks as well. We did. Yeah, it's true. And then
did you have any problem with seasickness?
No. That was no when I went to Canada. I wasn't seasick.
What about the rest of the lads?
But some of the lads, oh God, some of the lads, you know, that lay in armour and don't forget which way the wind was blowing. Oh, there were some laughs. No, there were, and we sailed up the Suez Canal, and when we were going to India, no, when we were coming back from India to go to Khartoum. Well, we were told if an Italian ship came down with Italian troops on and the slung oranges and that, we didn't have to retaliate because they were in Ethiopia, in Abyssinia, it was in. Yeah, the Italians had took that. Yeah,
so on the way out, though, so anything else about the voyage? It took you a long time.
Oh, yeah, we come through the Mediterranean and lovely and down the Suez Canal on the way. And that was the first time I seen the dolphins. The dolphins used to follow the ship. They looked like serpents. One of the other like is the one who's going down there. Yeah, isn't it? It is fantastic. But just as I say, well, they used to do guards on the ship. Oh, the heck do guards on the ship? Much of them don't. What? See, there was bags of booze and then there were... Down in the wet canteen, what they call the wet canteen, it was where there was 2 or 3 inches of water on the floor. I don't know whether. Oh, yeah, it was rough. That was part of your life.
So, where did you land up?
Bombay.
And what were your first impressions of it, of Bombay, India, then?
It was warm, and our first meal of rice was lovely. That's a rice pudding. I remember that. Yeah, and we travelled.
What about the people, though, and the the life and the smells and all the rest of it? Where? Did that have much of an impression on you at Bombay?
In India?
In Bombay, when you got there.
Well, we only just landed there. I mean, we had to travel to Barrackpore, which was near 10 miles from Calcutta. That's where the battalion was, 2nd Battalion, Barrackpore. And we travelled right across India in the train. But as I say... Practically, we had a feed, and the train was there. And the trains were horrible.
Why?
if you want to go to the toilet, if you didn't have a proper toilet, there was just a hole in the ground, and there was two handles where you had to hang, where you had to squat down. What a town. And the seats, they were like lats, and that was our bed. I was lying there, yeah. All our kit, and right, you know, all our kit was in there. And did we take rifles? No, we didn't take rifles. Yeah, we did. I can't remember anything. Anyway, we went to Barrackpore, and I was still in the machine gunners. And the lads there, hello, nice to see us, they're all right. Some of the old soldiers, they'd been, some of these lads had been up the northwest frontier before they moved to Barrackpore. It was their ribbon was a dark green, and it was a general service medal they had. And
you joined them in October 1932. That's when you got
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's right, and went to Barrackpore. And
what were the barracks like? Can you describe them for us? Cause
oh yeah, I've got a photograph of the barracks with the mosquito nets on. Well, we used to have mosquito nets. And they were long, and we had punkers, what they called punkers. That was like sheets, and a native used to swing the punkers. And if you started going to sleep, of course, and it was in after 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there was boots and everything, yeah, horrible, you know. And then they used to go like that when you woke. Yeah, we had our char wallers, beastie wallers, all kinds of wallers. The Indians.
So what would they do? The charwala, what was he for?
Well, he made tea. And we used to buy tea off him. And we used to buy sandwiches off him. They were in the barracks.
What about the beastie walla?
The beastie. They used to sweep up. They're beasties. They used to sweep the barracks. I forget the names. I'll have to think of the names of the beasties.
Doesn't matter.
Anyway, some of the lads used to buy a tea off these charwallers, and they used to put it on a bill. And some of the lads used to put Pearl White, Tom Mix, names like that on the bill. Like, then he used to come around looking for his payment. You know, the Tom Mix. Anybody's in Pearl White, you know. These are all the old actresses' names from days gone by. Oh, there's me. That's Bill. But I was in the quartermaster's stores.
Hang on. Sorry. Yeah. Hey. So, what the barrack rooms, you'd have mosquito things. What were the beds like? Were they just the normal barrack beds?
No. When we were in England, we had like, there was three mattresses in England. Three mattresses we had. Little square mattresses.
And what were they like in India?
We had a full bed. A full bed, you know. And we had a kid box by the bed. We're all kicked in. Our rifles, they had to be fastened up every night. And you had to take the bolts out. Because if the masters, different tribes, you know, the thieves, if they got a bolt, they could make a rifle to fit the bolt. You know, to fit the bolt. They were clever. Especially up the northwest frontier, you see. I wasn't there, but that's what they used to do. And we had our rifles chained to us as well sometimes. We had chains on them, fastened to our bodies. And we used to go on church parade.
What was church parade like?
Well, there was Catholics, Protestants. That's about all, I think. And if anybody wanted to skip church parade, all that to say was there were a Salvation Army man, so like that, so there wasn't any Salvation. Yeah. And we used to go to church with our rifles, because at Barrackpore, the church there, many years ago, church service on, and the soldiers were massacred by some Indians. So we had to go to church with our rifles. I had a cough.